Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and thank you for joining me. With the Lord's help, we're going to continue a few concluding thoughts on the message I've been sharing about the glory restored. And we learn some very important things as we look at what King David did as he began his reign. In 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, verse 1 says, "Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Verse 3, it says, "And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark." He was leading it, and of course, apparently, Uzzah was driving the oxen. And David and all the house of Israel, verse 5 says, played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. It was a time of rejoicing and celebration, was it not? But something drastic, terrible happens. In verse 6, it says, "When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. And he had a good intention, but he should not have done that for the because the oxen had shook it or they had stumbled." And verse 7, it says, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error." What was that? The error of presumption. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. Verse 9 says, "And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, 'How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?'" There's important lessons we're going to be learning from this entire chapter. And then in verse 10, it says, David, he would not remove the ark of the Lord to himself. That was his plan, to bring it into the city of David. But he carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And in verse 11, it said, it stayed there, the ark, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. And then in verse 12, it says, "It was told David, 'The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God.' So David went up and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness." And verse 13 says, "And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord," they that bare the ark of the Lord, "had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings." Now, you might not have noticed, but that use of the word, the verb bear, basically what had happened during that period, 3-month period, David the priest had consulted the book of the law, and they found that it was the ark was not to be carried on a cart. It was to be carried on the shoulders of the priest with staves. And so they that bear the ark of the Lord, they were carrying it as God had prescribed. And of course, the important lesson is we need to do the things that God says. He has a commands for us. He has a way that we should do things. For example, it's something very simple. You know, if you're angry at someone and you won't forgive them, well, Jesus said quite simply, your Father's not going to forgive you your sins. In verse 14, it says, "David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with the linen ephod. And so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. All right, we took the time to just share that together. And as we look at this portion of history, David desired very much to have the presence of God, which was represented by the ark, with him in the city of David. And at the beginning of his reign, he had a second attempt, if you will, to bring the ark there. He brought it into the city with gladness. And we shared that again. That was 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. And what was David doing? He was leading the people. He was demonstrating his joy, the importance that he placed on the presence of God, that the God's presence is vital to someone who's going to be serving the Lord. And of course, under the new covenant, we are kings and priests. In fact, this is an Old Testament prophetic picture of the new covenant believers. We, according to Revelations, are kings and priests unto our God. David was a king, but he was ministering as a priest. In 1 Kings 3:4, Solomon went to sacrifice there. When he assumed his throne after King David, he had a dream. But it's important to understand, while praise and worship continued before the Ark of the Covenant, the sacrifices, the blood sacrifices that God required, continued at Gibeon. And so it is foreshadowing. The priests were doing the sacrifice, but there were priests who were ministering to the Lord with round-the-clock praise and worship. And we see, according to Scripture, that the whole person is involved. That is the God's design, his desire for us, that with all of our heart, with all of our soul, body, soul, and spirit, we are ministering to the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I won't take the time, but there are 7 Hebrew words for praise. One of them is hallel, which is to rejoice, and a little strong, where we get the word alleluia, and an even stronger word is the Hebrew word guwl, G-U-W-L, and that means to spin around under the influence of any violent emotion, which usually, of course, is to rejoice, to be glad, and to be joyful. We see in Psalm 22, this messianic psalm, verse 22, Jesus made reference to this when he was in his, suffering on the cross. He said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And then that beautiful passage in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. We find the scriptures telling us in two portions. We're going to look at an Old Testament passage found in the book of Amos, found in chapter 9, verse 11. The prophet says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, referencing the joyous time, one of the greatest times of Israel during the reign of King David, when there was rejoicing and praise and worship, continually honoring the Lord. Verse 12 says that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Praise God. And then in Acts, going to the 15th chapter, verse 13, we find another reference. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, or Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, remember Cornelius, to take out of them a people for his name. And to this, they're recognizing this, was declared by the prophets, to this agree the words of the prophets, as is as it is written. After this, he's quoting Amos, I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth these things. So, what do we see in that? What I shared in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, God had a lesson for David and his people, the importance of reverencing the holiness of God. Some of the songs we used to sing, oh, the glory of your presence, I stand in awe of you. We're standing on holy ground, majesty. We need to return to a fear of the Lord, to experience God's presence, the glory restored. Hallelujah. Psalm 97 tells us, let me just turn to that. Verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Praise God. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. Verse 6 says, so come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That he's an awesome God. There is awe. There is, which means, and it's used a lot today, that word awesome, but it's an emotion of dread, veneration, and wonder. And as we do this, as the people come together, as described in 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, making one sound to praise the Lord, that glorious promise that they could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Praise God. So, beloved, we need to allow the Holy Spirit preeminence. We need to come before him with a humble spirit, a worshipful spirit. And as we do this, we will truly be able to minister to the Lord as kings, as priests, and experience the glory restored. Hallelujah. Just as God's people of old did when they did it God's way. Thank you so much for joining me. And if you have prayer needs, it's also I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.